Oh, Eureka!
Mummy and the daddy love each other very much.
Okay, cutting you
Mummy
off
Mummy puts
now.
On a scuba suit, daddy puts on cat ears, they put on their favorite HR puff and stuff and do the Charleston.
Heard Future Nova, which is the opening from the Eden of the East movie 2 by School Food Punishment. I'm Hatake, and this is Anime Addicts Anonymous, episode 31.
31?
It is.
We're really getting up there.
We are crikey. Getting up there. So,
I said crikey because we crikey. Have an Aussie presenter
crikey.
Now.
I just had to be an asshole and say that, sorry.
I'm so racist. No, I'm not. For the record.
Everybody's a little bit racist. It's okay.
I love that musical.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It really is.
Truly.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have with us here Chiaki.
Hi, guys.
Mitsugi.
I'm always here.
And our awesome guest, Scott, from the anime Sarcasm Podcast. I said that right.
Said that right. A little jumbled in there, but it sounds perfect enough.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he's trying to make you feel better.
I know, it's working. So, yeah, if you guys don't know how to find us by now, for shame, but you can find us at aaapodcast.com with 3 A's on iTunes, Facebook, and mevio.com, and also on addnetwork.net. We have some new forum members, so welcome to Kron, Midori Neko, PK Gato, and Crazy Gundam 67. So,
yay.
Give
that's
a warm welcome to these kids.
That's one crazy Gundam.
That's one crazy Gundam.
67.
Yes.
Actually, I feel sorry for the 66 crazy Gundams before him. They didn't have the equal amount of crazy to match up to him, so he just killed them all, and now he is the 67th and the ultimate version of the crazy Gundam.
Until someone kills him, it becomes the 68th.
It's not going to happen, because he is the ultimate. That's why he is 67.
Yeah, but, well, 69 would be the hentai one.
Yeah, well,
so.
Well yeah.
So, they don't need to kill anyone.
Wait, so this is a hentai episode
now?
No.
But if
no.
it was, that would be fun.
You would know that it was a hentai episode right off the bat.
Yeah.
There would be much more expletives by now.
There'd be lots of sausage.
In
my buns.
Okay.
Okay.
I just heard sausage and then synchronizing girls in the background. I'm just like, whoa. I'm not sure if I should be here.
That blow your mind?
Just a little. Just
that information
a little.
Right there just blew my face off.
Okay. So our trivia winner this week is Hikari Okami. Congratulations!
Congratulations!
We're proud of you.
I'm not. I am. I don't know.
The answer to the last one was Parn from Record of Lodoss War.
Actually, not too many people got that question right, so I guess I am proud. Okay, also, there's a new event going on our webpage. It's the 2010 First Annual Character Battle. For those of you that are familiar with the GameFAQs video game character battle, it's operated very similarly. There's been a bracket field of 64 different anime characters, and every night, two different pairs of them will be pitted against each other in a poll, and people will vote for their favorite anime characters. And then what you do is you go on bracketmaker.com and you register your bracket where you try to predict the winners right down to the final.
And it's free to do so, just so everyone knows.
And it's free to do so, and it'll be a lot of fun. It's going to last for about a month. And then the eventual winner of the contest, the one that can predict their bracket most accurately, will win a 1,600 square inch promotional poster of Snow from Final Fantasy 13. And completely free. And if you visit our forum, there is a thread on the forum. Actually, there's a big banner on the top page now. If you click the banner, it'll take you to how you register for it. It shouldn't take more than about 5 minutes, and should be a good way to entertain yourself every day for a whole month.
For serious. All right, we have two main topics today, and one is our Scott spotlight.
Hell yeah, spotlight's on me.
Figuratively, of course. And then we're going to take an anime news break with Mitsugi. We're going to come back, talk about our main topic too, which is gender in anime. That's going to be a fun time.
I think Bakuhazu wanted us to talk about that, so...
That's actually what my senior project thesis paper is on.
That it
oh
is.
Oh boy, should have a very good discussion then.
Well, not exactly. Not exactly, but...
Alright, and after that we're going to take another anime news break, and... then go into our reviews, and we've got some pretty exciting reviews today. We're going to be reviewing To Aru Kagaku no Railgun, Helsing, Sora no Woto, and Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball, yeah.
Which is classic.
That's a throwback. That makes me happy.
Throwback.
Yes. Throwback.
Retro anime.
So should we get started?
We should.
I think we should get this party started.
Oh man, bad song. Okay, so Scott...
Yes.
I'm kind of the review, or not review, interview person on the podcast.
Get ready for your close-up.
Are you reviewing me or interviewing me?
Both.
Reviewing you. I'll review... Oh, wait.
Okay.
That was terrible.
So before we really get started into the interview, is there anything you, like, basic information you want to say about you, yourself, your podcast, where you can find it, things like that?
Yeah. I run the Sarcasm Podcast, which is an acronym for Sipnova's Anime Review Containing Additional Superior Manga Podcast. I basically release an episode every week and another news episode every bi-week with another person who's close to me who knows infinitely more about anime but is too lazy to do a podcast on his own. You can find me at sarcasmpodcast.libsyn.com. You can email me at sarcasmpodcast@gmail.com, and I generally have a good time recording by myself and then editing and releasing it for everyone to listen to. I try to keep a general quality level, so I hope you come listen. If you don't, I won't feel too offended.
Too offended.
I did an episode by myself once. It was hard.
Yeah, that's actually one of my questions for you, is how is it recording alone? I mean, what prompted you to think to yourself, I'm going to do a podcast, but screw other people, I'm going to do it by myself?
No, see, when I started and I said, I want to do a podcast after Aaron. Like, he basically inspired me, Aaron from the... Oh god, it's been so long. The Warp Podcast. Weekly Anime Review Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and... Well, when he died, I'm like... When his podcast died, I decided, oh, I have to create a podcast. You know, I really want to keep his legacy going with this, you know, one man running a podcast. And, well, I failed for quite a few episodes before I got my formula down, but now I feel I'm up to the general level he was at episode one. And he just got infinitely better from there to, like, episode 100 and something.
It must have been really good by then.
Oh, he was. He was just spectacular.
So when I did my episode by myself, it was the Halloween episode, I got to force my opinions and my dictatorship upon the anime listening world, because it was only me and there was no one to contradict what I liked. do you ever just enjoy that?
No, because I know what you mean, because I'm absurdly biased when I record by myself. Because I'll sit there and all of a sudden my brain will go to Bleach, One Piece, or Naruto, and I'm just like, yeah, worst shows ever invented, they're horrible for these reasons, and there's no one to counteract me and say, yeah, but they have these good points.
What good
so
points?
So I sound absurdly biased at all points in time.
Excellent. One of my other questions for you is, how did you come up with your sarcasm acronym? Like, were you just like, I just want to do, I I remember reading your About the Podcast, and you said you like sarcasm, so I know that much, but, like, did you say, I want my acronym to be sarcasm, and then you sat there for, like, 2 hours figuring it out, or how did that work?
That is exactly what you said, only take that 2 hours and take it down to 5 minutes.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that the quality comes from time and thought and effort.
Well, I'm basically sitting down going, so I want sarcasm to be the name of my podcast. I want it to be an acronym now. And then all of a sudden I'm just like, da-da-da. The hardest part was like working out what the S was going to be, the second S.
Right.
I'm just like, and something manga. Let's go with superior. Yeah, that sounds good.
So I have kind of a serious question for you now.
Excellent, excellent.
How many girls do you have weekly throw themselves at your feet because of your accent?
No, like, okay. No, 1, 2, -3, none.
What? None.
What?
No.
Would you mind if we started the AAA Who Wants to Date an Aussie program?
You can go with that.
Can host try out.
I will not be against that whatsoever.
No, I'm
not. I'll just come into the forum and be like, crikey, where the girls at?
It's super effective.
Can you do the Geico Gecko?
The Geico Gecko?
Oh,
they
man.
Don't have that in Australia.
No. There's a... we have...
that, like, at Geico, you could save 24%.
Oh, maybe they do.
Just by joining to Geico.
Yeah.
Geico. Anything like that?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
See, if you moved to the U.S., girls would be throwing themselves at your feet because you would actually have an accent.
It's so true.
Okay. If I ever moved to the U.S., I would put on a heavy Australian accent just to get the girls.
It would work.
Yep, it would. Okay, so, all joking aside, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color? Orange, easily.
Orange?
Oh.
Orange, because that's the color of Haruki's hairband.
That's an excellent reason.
I'm not even joking. That is the reason, and that's why.
Well, I'm sure Haruhi appreciates it. Nothing like sucking up to God.
We have somebody on our forum named Rekka who loves you.
She doesn't appreciate it, though. She's too tsundere to show her deri-deri side.
So, what's your favorite anime, and why? Or did that the favorite color question answer it?
Actually, my favorite anime is Please Twins or Onegai Twins. Because I relate to the series so much that it just transcends the whole fan service series into an emotional level with me, and I can't watch it without sitting there and crying and feeling just emotionally distraught and wrecked, and then happy at the end, and all the characters just speak to me, and I can almost swear to God no one else likes that series but me. But I will fight for that series till I die.
Well, you know, if you will fight for it, then it made the producers happy because one person liked it.
Yay. And the worst part is a sequel to a bad series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a low bar and reset it. And I won't say in which direction. I mean.
A little bit.
No. It's okay because the old saying always goes, and especially with anime and the such, you know, hey girl, you're hot. It's like, you know, we're brother and sister, even hotter.
Have you seen, speaking of that, I have a question of which anime you're most looking forward to from the new season, but with regards to that, before you answer that question, have you seen the anime that it's called Sister X Sister, and it's actually, that's the whole story?
Yes, and I love it.
Okay.
It is so ridiculous, because you're just sitting there, then all of a sudden, the two girls throw themselves at him. Sexual, like, encounters ensue within the next 20 minutes, and at the end they're like, oh, but we don't want to be sluts or anything. It's like, you just threw your naked bodies at him for 20 minutes straight.
And they said, yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said a dirty word. Can you put the moan over that?
I get to use my moan sound effect, yes.
Okay, Scott. So what is the anime you're looking most forward to from this season?
I'm definitely going to have to go with Big Utter HK for the strangest premise I've seen in a long time.
Which one?
Big Utter HK. Quite literally, it's a girl, she gets to high school and she decides that she's going to have 100 casual sex partners.
Oh, yes!
And she's a virgin. And despite this, she finds herself only targeting one guy and pursuing him for his love. It's like, shouldn't it be the other way around? Like, she goes after one guy, and then on the way, she just randomly gets done by 100 guys. No, just reverse that, and that's our plot.
I... Well... Excellent. That's all I have to say is excellent to that. Another serious question. What is your favorite food?
Favorite food has to be really well done mashed potatoes.
Yes!
Excellent. Yes. And you guys don't even have Thanksgiving down there, do you?
No, no we don't. We have this awesome thing called Australia Day, where everyone goes outside to a park, starts up a barbecue, roasts meat all day, and then just eats it.
You put shrimp on the barbie?
And then occasionally we get really drunk.
Because...
I resisted the urge to slap you for that.
Aww. But I like being slapped.
Shrimp on the barbie?
Yes.
They don't do that.
Yes, they do.
No, we don't.
Exactly.
Let me be racist.
They don't do that. I love Australians.
I love Australians, too.
So, did you need me to say something along the lines of, oh, shrimp on the barbie?
Please don't.
We're gonna edit out the mashed potatoes and just put that sound clip in there.
That's okay. I will look forward to that. That's good.
So
depressing.
Another question about your podcast. I'm trying to go in order of like a question about you, a question about your podcast, and a question about your anime taste. The question about your podcast. Has anything really funny ever happened during your podcast? Because I know you have, like me, guests on every now and then, and has a guest ever said anything, or has anything ever been done that has just made you, like, either your sides hurt in laughter, or in retrospect, like, it was really funny?
I have to say the one hentai episode I did was about Uno Sekidoshi, Legend of the Overfiend, Legend of the Demon Womb, the infamous 1980s hentai.
Oh no.
I basically bought it. I sat down with my closest friend and said, we're watching this, and the second it ends, I'm hitting record and we're doing this. We actually ended up writing down a list during the hour and a half of the movie of what the tentacle monster, and then insert bone voice or rape here, had raped. And then quite literally our list just went on for 2 minutes straight, and we're like, oh, and penis raping everything. That episode is us just laughing about this horrible rape topic, and then just like, what did they do with this anime? What was going on?
That sounds excellent.
Tentacle loving. I'm done.
I have tentacles.
Yeah, you have the Mitsugi Tentacle Love Room.
Yeah, our forum is a Mitsugi Tentacle Love Room. Yep.
Excellent. That's special.
I hope you have enough tentacles to go around.
He does.
Oh, I do. And if I don't, I just grow more.
Alright, so...
Don't act like you don't like it.
I don't, actually.
Oh, actually, I want to change my answer for the anime I'm looking most forward to, considering I was only looking at series and not OVAs.
Okay, go ahead.
We're talking about most anticipated, it definitely has to be the Audette release of the Hatsune Miku song Black Rock Shooter.
Oh... Okay.
Yeah. I've been watching out for that for the past year, and I can't wait for the OVA to come out.
Well, I'm glad it is coming out for you then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well.
Who is your favorite anime character?
Anime character?
Yes.
It's a tie between Aisaka Tiger from Toradora and Haruhi Suzumiya from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
It has to be Haruhi.
No, because Tiger is just so cute and amazing, and she really is the Ojo Sama Moe. She really personifies that. And it's very hard to find that type of moe in recent anime these days, anyway.
Alright, now who would win in a fight?
Between them?
Yeah.
Well, Haruhi, she's a god.
I was gonna say.
It's true. Unless Kratos stepped in.
Oh, well.
No, even then, I reckon he would just, like, I don't like you, and just teleport him to a separate world with all of these mythical Greek gods.
Exactly.
And she's just on her own. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's how Kratos got to where he was.
Really? I didn't realize that was the other half of that story.
Oh yeah, that's what the fourth game's gonna be. It's gonna be a prelude to where Haruhi just beats Kratos and sends him to mythological Greek world.
I would pay money to have that game.
I don't think I want to see a game where Kratos just sits down and eats like 3 pounds of chocolate. Just so we know that he likes chocolate.
I told you last night he's a god. Of course he likes chocolate. Do you like chocolate, Scott?
I love chocolate.
Yay.
That's great chocolate. To hear.
Oh, and also, US chocolate sucks.
Yeah,
German chocolate is good. Swiss chocolate is delicious.
Do you know why their chocolate is delicious?
Because they
get a higher rain level on their grass, so when the cows eat the grass, they get more moisture into their udders, thus the milk becomes creamier and richer, thus the chocolate is nicer.
The fact that you know that is kind of awesome.
How do you know that?
Because in my town where I live, we have Australia's largest chocolate manufacturing company, Cadbury's. We just make all of Australia's chocolate here, and you go on tours there, and they just hand like blocks of free chocolate to you, and they just take it with you.
We have
too much of this stuff.
Is that the place that makes the Cadbury eggs?
Yes.
That's my favorite company.
I love Cadbury eggs.
Cadbury anything is delicious.
I just found that so weird because I actually have an Aussie friend who got his like doctoral degree in chocolate.
That's
so
kind of full of
wow.
Okay, all that aside, that's pretty much all like the set questions I had for you. Is there anything else you want to say about yourself or anything I didn't ask you? Or, I mean, I'd say anything you want to ask us, but we already had a nice long chat, so, but you can still ask us.
You can ask us questions.
Yeah, I just want to say two things. There are two genres of anime that every single anime fan is guilty of, overlooks, and I hate it. It's josei anime and real mecha anime. Not this Gurren Lagann stuff where they just kind of yell at the screen for 26 episodes and everyone goes, best thing ever. I'm talking about real mecha, like Botoms and Macross, and also all Josei series, like the Super Shoujo series. I'm sorry, that's all I need to say.
It's okay, I agree with you. Hatsuke is going to kill you, but I agree with you.
I love Macross. I agree.
Macross is awesome.
I have no problem unless somebody inserts my... what is the next?
You're saying you prefer the mecha where there's actually mecha... instead of just cute boys dancing around in cute clothing with nice hair and...
I can deal with that and enjoy it. It's just that the real mecha side of mech is completely overlooked.
Okay.
Completely.
That I will agree with.
I can nearly guarantee that no one has seen Botoms.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gatsuragi, which is considered the most... most realistic mecha series, because they actually open up one of the mechs at some point, say, okay, this is like the carburetor that goes to here, and this is how we dealt with this problem so that they can fight in the sand, and this is how we dealt with this problem so that they can still fight underwater, and they move very naturally. That's all I probably need to say about myself.
you covered it all with that.
I feel like I learned something.
I did too about Cadbury.
Alright, so thank you for talking with us, letting us interview you. We're going to take a quick news break with Mitsuki.
This is Mitsuki, and it's time for your first anime news break. Big news right off the bat. It seems that America's Legendary Pictures production company has licensed the rights to make a Godzilla film from Japan's Toho. It plans to make a film in 2012. Legendary Pictures is co-producing and co-financing the film with Warner Brothers. It will announce the director soon and indicates that its version will be closer to the 1954 film rather than Sony's 1998 Godzilla remake. Big news for all you Beck fans out there. It seems that the producers of the live-action film adaptation of Beck, the rock and roll manga, announced recently that the American band Red Hot Chili Peppers and the British band Oasis will contribute the two theme songs of the film. The Red Hot Chili Peppers will provide the opening theme song, Around the World, and Oasis will provide the ending theme song, Don't Look Back in Anger. The film will open in Japan on September 4th, and we can probably look forward to seeing that film in America shortly after. Some of you will remember that back on March 24th, the conservative Republican website Red Hampshire reported on a comment made by the New Hampshire Democratic State Representative Nicholas Levasseur on his personal Facebook page regarding anime. The quote read, "Anime is a prime example of why two nukes just wasn't enough." Well, since then, Levasseur has made a response regarding his Facebook post, and it reads, partially, "I would like to deeply apologize for the insensitivity of this post. It was a poorly thought out comment, posted in jest, on my private Facebook page. This, of course, does not excuse the comment." It seems that the New Hampshire legislator has apologized for his anime-based comment. Finally, Nippon Animation has announced a collaboration on a planned television anime series called Maho Tsukai Hailee no Speed. The director and story creator, Naoya, is working with scriptwriter Takeshi Chikakio and the Japanese Foundation of Public Communication and Science and Technology to create what has been described as scientific animation. What this means, I'm not quite sure. However, the planned 26-episode television series is made for family audiences, and the producers hope to connect with children through animation and magic for an enjoyable learning experience. Look out for this anime to be released in the future. That's it for your anime news for now. Time to get back to the podcast.
Dude, that news break, it was so exciting.
It did it for me.
Yeah. Who else needs a cigarette? Anybody else need a cigarette?
I need a towel.
Oh, towel. Whoa.
I'm the one that recorded it.
Silence.
Where's my towel?
Cricket, you don't need one. So anyway.
You just got news all over everyone else. You just had to give everyone your news break.
Oh my god, I just died a little on the inside.
I just let it rip and let it spray all over the room.
Oh god. Oh,
please, this is not necessary. Uh-oh.
There are little kids listening to this. Damn us.
That's so true.
I hope not.
I think there are. Anyway, now that my soul is crying, we're gonna talk about main topic number two, guys.
Which was requested by Baku Hazu. Hi, Baku!
Hey, Baku, what's up?
You're my favorite. But I don't have favorites.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to be discussing gender in anime. And, how people of different genders perceive anime, their tastes, their likes, their dislikes. Variations on what, on types of things that different gender people like. And, maybe we can arrive at a middle ground, maybe not. The first order of business is the difference between a guy and a girl that enjoy anime and the different types of anime that they enjoy. And seeing as we have two guys and two girls here,
hey.
Although it's not, obviously not a large enough sample to really get anything out of it, maybe we can compare our likes and dislikes as guys and girls and see what comes up.
This sounds like a plan.
I have a feeling that this is going to be a really worrying result simply because I'm here.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, me too. It'll all even out.
Well, anyway, I guess I'll get started with it. I mean, the types of anime I prefer, I absolutely do not like moe anime at all. Everybody who listens to this podcast already knows that. And over time, I feel like my tastes have changed a lot. Like, I used to watch just about anything, but, you know, when you've seen a certain amount of anime, you just kind of get kind of tired of seeing the same types of stuff, reused ideas, and, I watch a lot more sports anime now than I ever have. Pretty much every sports anime that comes on, you know, through the airwaves, I pick up, but, I really look for atmosphere in anime, because I feel like You can have great characters, you can have an excellent story, but if it's executed poorly, then it's going to fail no matter what it is. But I don't really dislike the girly type anime, you know, like Peach Girl and things like that. But, I mean, in fact, I actually watched a sample disc of Peach Girl, and...
And you liked it.
I thought it was alright. But if I have to pick, you know, I tend to prefer animes that are more well done, but, you know, I might lean more towards, like, the masculine end of things.
I think, honestly, when I look to enjoy anime, I don't really focus on gender themes such as masculine and feminine. If I do, I much prefer very strong, almost, I don't want to say masculine females because people get the opinion of butch, but masculine in the sense of they're not the damsel in distress and they're not exceedingly like feminine and weak. But I personally just tend to prefer comedy over a lot of, not, well, I do prefer the comedy, the short, but comedy genre of anime, just because I kind of feel like I don't generally prefer anime that's just drama-filled, because I have so much drama shit that goes on in real life, why do I want to watch it on my free time? That's, like, and honestly, that's one of the reasons why, like, I'm supposed to be watching Winter Sonata from the last season, and I know it's supposed to be good because it was so popular in Japan, but it's just, and if anything, people would be like, oh, you're a girl, you should love that because it has the drama, it has the romance, it has the labu-labu, but like, I just can't get into it because I'm like, why do I want to watch that shit? Because it, like, I don't want to deal with drama in my own life. Why do I want to emotionally deal with drama in anime? So, and that's kind of also why I like things if I do watch, like, romance animes. I like things like Kimi ni Jidouge. Love that anime! Because, it's kind of like, it's humorous while still being, like, romantic and cute.
Well, do you have a varying opinion, Scott? One that might not be in line with what I said?
Yep. If I had a choice, I would exclusively watch yaoi and shoujo anime. I'm not even joking, because yaoi and shoujo anime, not so much because of, you know, because it is, you know, shoujo romance or just guys having gay butt sex together. It's more the fact that those types of anime are done with character development in mind as opposed to plot. And if an anime or a TV series or a movie just doesn't have character development, I zone out within 10 seconds and just go, well, this isn't worth it for me, and walk away. So I can't watch stuff like gigantic shonen fighting series because there is no character development other than I want to become, you know, X type of fighter, X type of surgeon, X type of, you know, pirate on the sea. Whereas with shoujo romance and yaoi anime, they're like, okay, let's see how this character develops over time, and I find that to be much more enjoyable. I know I'm in the minority that say this for guys, but that really speaks to me as an anime star. But on the other hand, it's not always all about character development, because I sit there and I will rewatch Gurren Lagann just on a whim, just because it's all manly and fighting, and they'll go and punch each other in the face, and there's just drools everywhere.
And what guy doesn't like drooling?
I use my drill on you. So, you're a character-driven viewer. I'm a story-driven viewer.
I'm a no-drama-driven viewer.
How about you?
I was actually going to say something very similar to what Scott just said, which is why I'm sitting here a little freaked out right now. I am not a yaoi fan at all, though, so I try to stay away from stuff like that. But I will watch a show exclusively because of character development as well. Whether it's... I mean, I watch a lot of stuff that some people consider to be boring, though, as well, so I guess... I don't know, it's hard for me to describe. I do watch a vast, like, amount of anime from different genres, so I guess I don't really have a specific...
So we're not really arriving at a divergence here, but no. I think if I were to speak on behalf of men everywhere, I would say that there are animes out there that to me feel like they're targeted towards specific genders.
Well, that's how shoujo and shonen, the words developed.
Yep. Right.
I actually don't like to use shoujo and shonen as an example of male and female. I'm considering that right now those two genres are just verged right into each other. They are basically one and the same. I prefer to use seinen and jose because they're still kind of separate from each other. seinen at the moment's doing stuff like, I know the new Captain Harlock series, Golga 13, Gurren Lagann, whereas Jose is going for the full-on romance of Kimi Nito Kei and such.
I don't know. I feel like when I'm mentioning the point I just made beyond shoujo anime, I feel like there's animes beyond that are not shoujo that feel like they're definitely targeted towards men. For example, Shigurui, the samurai anime. Berserk has a little bit of shoujo in it, but not really, in like maybe one character. And like Ninja Scroll, animes that definitely are not shoujo that probably would not appeal to females, just like there are shows that I feel like are just too feminine for guys to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, are there animes that like have a middle ground where...
See, I'm having, yeah. like, honestly, I'm having, like, a hard time, like, not really going off on too many tangents, because, like I've said, my senior project at school is actually a research project on gender in anime and the female viewers that consume it, specifically effeminate men and masculine women, and I'm having a hard time with this topic. Damn you, Baku!
Okay, just to keep the conversation rolling, I'd like to say, okay, have a think about old 1980s anime. I can pretty much guarantee that any girl who starts watching Dirty Pair is going to hate it within 10 seconds, because it quite literally is the, you know, busty, ditzy girl wearing not very many clothes, running around with a gun, shooting people, blowing up planets. It's all there for fan service for the guys. I think that's really what you want to look at when you say, what do guys enjoy? Well, if it has gratuitous amounts of fan service, you could pretty much say, yeah, that's an anime designed for male viewers.
But see, I have the question, too, of just because it was made for guys... See, here's the thing, is it's like I would agree that if it has, like, gratuitous fan service and panty shots, yeah, it was probably made with a male viewer in mind. But it's like a lot of the guys I speak to don't really like that. Like, most of the anime viewers that I speak to are like, oh, fan service, it sucks. I mean, like, okay, maybe a panty shot here or there is maybe kind of nice, but, like when that's the whole anime, most guys that I talk to don't really even like that.
Well, I'm one of those guys. I watched the one episode of Aika Zero just because I wanted to get a kick out of the fact that there were, like, 300 panty shots in 20 minutes. But, I mean, this really has no purpose in the conversation, but I just feel like fan service just takes away from the story and takes away from any kind of seriousness that it might have. I mean, it's just distracting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just to return to try to keep some kind of a structure on the conversation, are there animes that arrive at a middle ground where both genders can enjoy it?
I know that yes, there are. Yes, very simply, you can say anything by Weekly Shonen Jump Magazine. Statistics have been released by Weekly Shonen Jump Magazine. The people who do Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, the original Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Gintama, there's a whole bunch of series, have a 50-50 viewership of male and female. And that's a shoujo, that's a shounen manga serialization. It is meant for boys, and yet it has a 50-50 viewership.
Well, that's interesting. If you think about it, a lot of the animes you just listed are primarily action-based. As you say, many of them were shoujo, and they're intended for boys. So what is it about these animes that allow females to have the same kind of enjoyment?
Oh, pick me.
I pick you.
Okay. I actually think I can answer this question. With some of the research I did for my project. And essentially my hypothesis/argument for my project was that women who watch anime that has either very strong women or effeminate men do so because it's almost like a fantasy of this notion of the breaking down of traditional male hierarchical gender boundaries, in that it allows them to see these women who are very strong, or to see these men who are not being used as oppressive masculine figures. And so I think in a lot of these animes, you kind of have that. I mean, true, there is some of the damsel in distress aspect every now and then, but it's like you have something like Naruto, where you have, you know, Sakura, who's I'm going to argue. I'm going to argue is a somewhat is a competent ninja.
Okay.
That's what I was gonna say. She is a competent ninja, and it oftentimes is portrayed as being as, if not more competent than the bumbling Naruto.
Okay.
Have you actually watched Naruto? Sakura is nothing in that show.
I did the Shippuden, she is.
Well, okay.
She develops a lot.
400 episodes
she
into the show.
She goes through a lot of development, please.
Well, that might be true, but like, even it, but
she
like,
was annoying in the beginning.
There's so much focus on, like, there's only, how many female ninjas are there in Naruto? There's the blonde girl.
There's Sakura, Ino, Hinata, Tenno.
I'm not saying that it's the main focus, but what I'm saying is that it exists. And it's a world where there's this even playing field for men and women. And just because they're a woman, no one says you're a woman, you can't be a ninja.
Well, how about Dragon Ball? Because there's no strong female characters in that, except for Android 18. And even she kind of slips into obscurity.
Dragon Ball, the only argument I'd have for that would be it's a classic. Who doesn't recommend Dragon Ball? I know we're going to review it later, but...
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, if you really think back to it, like, think of real shonen fighting series way back to, say, Fist of the North Star, Space Adventure, Cobra, a few other things like that. There are no strong female leads in that whatsoever, and I see your point. It's kind of evolved over time to be... I'd like to make a quote from a Japanese website recently where they said, back in the old days, you used to have anime for men used to be manly men going around doing manly stuff, and anime for women used to be women going around doing womanly stuff. And all of a sudden, anime for men is now all about cute little high school girls, and anime for women is all about adult men. And it's just been this gigantic gender swap.
Yeah.
And lots of older anime fans are completely confused by this. So it's more of a recent thing as opposed to it's been here forever with anime.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, I just watched Cobra, you just mentioned it.
Yep.
That anime, there's no chance in this world that anime is intended for women at all. Cobra is that is the most sexist anime I've seen in ages. And yet, it doesn't have any cute, like, it doesn't have even a drop of moe in it. I just can't see, I mean, by that logic, I'm sure that there's a portion of men that quote doesn't speak to, or a portion of women. But, I mean, I wonder exactly what portion of the population animes like that tend to target. Because it's definitely not women, and it's definitely not moe viewers. So there must be a proportion of men that...
And I go back to the argument of the classics. You have... Cobra is an anomaly, let's face it, in the common season. And
yes.
What is it based off of? A classic anime genre.
Well, what I'm saying is that even though it might be a smaller proportion, there is still a percentage of viewers out there that prefer, that haven't trended, if you see what I mean,
right.
To use a term, a buzzword maybe.
No, well... The problem is that you've got to be really careful when looking at how popular an anime is. Do you go by, you know, the fake viewer ratings? Do you go by how much merchandise is sold? If you go by how much merchandise is sold, they did a study recently showing that a 5% of the anime fans buy 75% of the anime merchandise. There's a 5% of anime fans in Japan keeping the merchandise going.
Sounds a lot like the wealth distribution in most countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It is the crazy otaku fanboys who have no life, sit in their apartment and love their moe anime, and then go out and buy all of one character's items. That's really what's pushing this whole stereotype of moe anime forward. They're making more moe anime for this small amount of people who spend all their money on it, as opposed to the general populace who enjoy something.
So what you're saying is, at least in the last couple seasons, 75% of the anime are being made for 5% of the population.
Yes. Very easily. I would say that that's been the case for the past 8 or so years.
Well, phrasing it like that, is anime being made exclusively for the purpose of driving merchandise? Because
yes.
That's the only reason that I can see that would be the case.
Of course it is, but that's like with any industry. I mean, really, Star Wars was one of the first movies to do it, to give you kind of a time period, but it was the first movie, well, one of the first movies that was really like, hey, this whole merchandising thing... is a really good idea.
Here's an idea. If 75% of the anime is being made for 5% of the population, and that 5% of the population makes up 3/4 of merchandise sales. Is that statistic true because there aren't enough non-moe animes to drive sales from merchandise to the other percentage of the viewers? Or is that just because moe viewers tend to buy more stuff? And is there
They just buy more stuff.
Yeah, but is there a study to prove that? Or is it just like there's not, like, there aren't, or is it just that there aren't any shows to drive merchandise other than moe?
There is a study, and I talked about it on my second Third Impact podcast episode. I'm sorry, I deleted the link recently. I'm sorry. What can I do?
It's okay.
It's okay, but can you elaborate?
See, this was like 6 weeks ago that I did that. I'm sorry, I can't. Not without Washi being here from Wakara and I blog. He knows infinitely more about it. You should have pegged him for the episode.
Well, kind of to go back to Baku's question about, you know, guys and girls liking anime and if there's a middle ground, I think kind of one of, I guess, personally, in my opinion, one of the blessed things about anime is that there's just so many genres and so many things the medium can do that at least to a certain extent it transcends a lot of, like, the gender norms that what you would think. Like, it's not just, like, girls wanting to watch housewives and people getting their nails done. Like, you can have a girl who likes sci-fi. You can have a guy who likes moe. You can have a girl who likes Cobra the Animation. You can have a guy who likes Sailor Moon. And that's the case. I mean, that's not an abnormal thing to happen. So I think that's one of the good things about anime, and I think that's, I guess in my mind, personally in answer to Baku's question, I think there are stereotypes of what a guy and a girl would like. I mean, of course, it's like a stereotype to think, oh, he's a guy, of course he's going to love all the panty shots, but in practice, we know that's not as true as what it sounds like. So, I mean, I think that there's stereotypes, but I don't think anime necessarily holds up to them, and I think there are a lot of animes that girls can like just as easily as guys. And that's my two cents. Anyone else have any they want to add? Don't jump off all at once.
I just
want to
point out that I love Sailor Moon. It's really awesome.
There are a lot of guys who do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying there are a lot of guys who love Sailor Moon.
Yeah, because there's Sailor Bob. Have you seen that cosplay?
No.
Is one of the fat men that tries to squeeze into a Sailor Moon uniform?
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that.
How did I guess that?
Not as good as Cardcaptor Will. Cardcaptor Will always be my favorite cosplay in existence.
My favorite cosplay is Manriku. We've talked about him before.
Oh, Manriku.
Yes.
Not as good as Manfei.
I was just about to say Manfei is
more
a classic.
Than Manfei. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we are going to take another anime news break with Mitsugi! Oh shit!
Alright, listeners, it's time for your second round of anime news. It seems that we have an announcement from Studio Madhouse. The animation studio has announced that it is making a film adaptation of Kuroko Inumura's To'aru Hikushi e no Tsuyoku, or Flashbacks to a Certain Aerial Pilot light novel. The anime has already been adapted into a radio drama and a manga by Maiko Ogawa in Shogakukan's monthly Shonen Sunday magazine. The anime revolves around the story of Charles Carino, a Rivamu Empire mercenary aerial pilot who mans the twin-seater reconnaissance seaplane Santa Cruz. One day he receives a preposterous assignment to fly solo over 12,000 kilometers of enemy waters to protect a girl named Fauna de Moral. Fauna happens to be the next in line to the Empire's throne, and a girl possessing beauty equal to 1,000 beams of light. So you can look forward to this one by Studio Madhouse in the future. In a bit of economic news, the Nikkei.com website reported on Monday that the Japanese government is working with the private sector to set up a 10 billion yen, or about 110 million US dollars, fund to support the spread of Japanese anime movies and music abroad. The goal for the project is to boost the foreign revenue for Japanese content from 1 trillion yen, or about 11.7 billion dollars, to 2.5 trillion yen, or 27 billion dollars, by 2020. Heading the panel that is drawing up the strategy is Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama, and also the Intellectual Property Police Headquarters. A bit of sad financial news regarding anime distributor 4Kids Entertainment. The company was recently warned by the New York Stock Exchange that their market capitulation has reached below the exchange's minimum limit. 4Kids most recently reported stockholders' equity was a mere $35.1 million below the US $50 million limit that the stock exchange requires over the 30-day trading period. The company said that they plan to submit a report on how they will remedy the problem over the next 45 days. However, if the average market cap falls below 15 million US dollars, the stock exchange delisting procedure will begin, regardless of any plan that the company chooses to submit. The company 4Kids also has to maintain a stock price of at least $1 per share. That concludes the news for today. We're going to get back to the show now.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Amro.
And we are the Anavision Podcast, where we bring the worlds of anime and gaming together and break down the biggest news each week and have topic discussions, including
the Anavision Fight Club, where we pair off two elements of gaming or anime and battle it out between them.
Anime Revision Division, where we decide what things in anime and gaming should be improved.
And Topic Potpourri, where we just discuss whatever comes to mind in a roundtable discussion.
And we have special previews for all of the new anime seasons. So visit anavision.org, download, enjoy, and don't forget to believe it!
So that was an exciting bit of news. Are you guys ready to keep going?
Yeah!
So the first review today is To'aru Kagaku no Railgun, as I butcher the pronunciation. And this is going to be taken care of by our own Mitsugi.
This anime started so long ago. You know, for an anime that's not really that good, it sure as hell took an awful long time to get through with it. I mean, it started coming out like in... Well, it's a full 26 episode series. That's half a year. Anyway, so the release date was October, it's the 2nd, 2009. It's 26 total episodes, and the director is Tatsuyuki Nagai, who did Honey and Clover, and Mahime, and Hatake, who's dancing around over here, stopped and looked at me when I said Honey and Clover because she loves that show.
I bet you I love Honey and Clover more than you.
Oh, I bet you I love Honey and Clover more than you do.
A rift in the and like the world just tore open and there are two people battling in it.
What you don't know is I'm actually Haruhi Suzumiya and I'm going to destroy you.
You can't. That's the problem, because I'm Kion and I'm actually the god. I was born and created a god of Haruhi to entertain myself.
This is a problem.
Anyway,
we'll resume this after the review.
Basically, To'aru Kagaku no Railgun follows the story of Mikoto, Uiharu, and Kuroko and Kuroko. Friends.
Saturn.
What's up?
I'm sorry, I really like this show.
You like it?
Well, I like the manga, actually.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not a terrible show. The thing with it is that the show, it takes place in Academy City, where people have, like, these psychic powers, and they're ranked, like, based on their level. and you have the Railgun, who basically is like one of the only level 5 Esper users in the whole city, and they call her that because she flips like a coin up in the air and she can like fire it like a railgun. Mikoto, she's one of the only characters, ironically, that isn't part of the justice group that basically controls crime in the city. It's kind of like a student-run task force. And the show is broken down into segments that, ironically enough, although even though I thought they were just episodic little pieces that were going to, you know, not really culminate into anything, by the end of the show, you kind of find that they did have like a purpose, and by the end, it kind of all ties together loosely, I would say, because there's not really a whole lot. Like, by the time it culminates, there's only like 2 episodes left in the show. For example, one of the arcs was about this thing called the level upper, and it's this device that people are using to try to basically level up their Esper powers, but it ends up making people sick. And another arc was about this device that emits like this sound wave that paralyzes Esper users so that they can't use their psychic abilities. All these things have purposes, and you don't really find out until the end what the purposes are. But just to kind of get through the quality of the show itself, it's kind of what I expected of a show that came out very recently. It has very good animation. It's very crisp looking. The music's really good. Like the theme song, "Only My Railgun" by Flipside, the first one, broke some kind of a singles record in Japan for records. I mean,
it's an amazing song, an amazing album as well.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good song. In fact, it was so good that we've been using the other songs for our openings and outros for this podcast. But,
Do you know who the production company of Railgun was?
The production company is JC Staff, who also did Honey and Clover. And I got Azumanga and Nodame Cantabile, Utena, Orphan, Shakugan no Shana, and about, you know, numerous others I couldn't even stand.
Corridor, JC Staff are brilliant.
You can make like an entire episode out of just naming the stuff they've done. The actual anime does have a lot of faults. I mean, one of the main problems, I think, is that they spend the beginning of the show building up this sense that it's going to be this great action show. I mean, I don't know about the manga because I haven't read it, but the first episode has Mikoto basically, like, she fires her railgun at a car and it like explodes and flies. It's driving towards her and it flips over and flies over her and like explodes on the other side. And like after the first episode, I thought this show was gonna be like amazing. I mean, it's a moe show basically, but the level of action and the overall atmosphere to me made the show feel like it was just gonna be this fast-paced blockbuster. But what you find is that the show really doesn't really have very good pacing. A lot of the episodes are just like this dry police investigation stuff. They spend so much time with Kuroko basically fondling and trying to like hook up with Misaka. And it's just, I just got so sick and tired of the sexual Yuri joke that like wouldn't die. And it's that kind of stuff, like going back to what we were talking about earlier in the previous segment with the panty shots, this is the same thing as panty shots. Like, I know it's like, oh, Mitsuki, you're gonna have fun, you know, like, have some fun, have, like, enjoy the Yuri jokes, you know? But, like it's just, you know, when shows just have so much of that crap in it, I have a really hard time taking it seriously. I mean, if every single time something serious is happening, there's, like, a tit joke. Like, come on. There's no tit jokes in the middle of, like, the presidential speeches, is there? Right? I mean, I can't imagine Obama talking about panties, you know, in the middle of his address.
We don't have to talk about that.
I guess we'll...
I know if Joe Biden can swear, then Obama can talk about panties.
But the show has moments. I mean, like, there's a moment towards the middle where, I hate to give out spoilers, so I'm not going to, but there's like a really excellent battle that goes on with this being that kind of absorbs all the powers from the city, and there's some really excellent action in that episode. But overall, I just feel like it's pretty slow. The final arc is it's about a study to develop the sixth level of Esper power.
Yep, so they actually did put the accelerator arc into it?
Yes, that's at the end. Yep. And it's about this crystallized Esper essence that causes these children who are like the test subjects to have like an overload. You know what I'm talking about, and they're on comas. And there's the girl that's trying to like revive them. And then there's the girl that's like actually the villain, who I won't mention. But you find out that most of the stuff that's been happening throughout the whole show is linked to the study. And in an interesting way, but really it's not. It's about one episode max that actually where it all ties together. So there's not much. It's kind of anticlimactic at the end too. But the show is good. I mean, it's not a bad show. I mean, there are some people out there that are genuinely going to enjoy this show a lot. I think I'd recommend it for people that like the light moe humor, but want to have like a touch of serious like action and drama in there too, which is what made it tolerable for me. I mean, if the whole show had just been Kuroko's, you know, making jokes about taking a bath with Misaka every episode, you know, I probably wouldn't be able to handle it. But
because it had that level of plot, you were able to enjoy it.
Right, it has to have a plot level, and it's kind of thin, but overall, the show is pretty good. Like, I would recommend people give it a try, but don't base this show off of the first episode, because the first episode's level of pacing is not the same pacing that you're going to get for the first, like, 12 episodes.
Can I just put in another recommendation for this show? I recommend people watch this show who want an anime that they can later find a lot of porn about.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because there is so much doujinshi porn surrounding this anime.
Chiaki and I went to Comic-Con in Japan, and like I feel like half of that convention
was K-On! Porn. K-On! Was a lot, but
Railgun
porn.
Kagaku no Railgun, like doujinshi porno. Because it's a really popular show. It's very popular in Japan.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, please.
I would like to say that, Railgun is actually from an extended series, the To'aru series.
Duh.
A lot of that, there's To'aru Majitsu no Index.
Right, yeah.
Which I showed like a year earlier, and then there's a couple other side stories going with that. But the thing you say about pacing and everything like that is the pacing problems are completely solved in the manga. The pacing is amazing in the manga.
Okay, so it doesn't carry over. Maybe this is just...
No, they JC Staff did a really horrible adaptation of it because they destroyed the pacing, they didn't characterize very well. They actually took a random... You know that episode where they go back in history to where Uriharu just joined and Uriharu and Kuroko, like little kids, are stuck in a bank with a robber?
Yep, and they try to break up the robbery?
Yep, that is like chapter 20 of the manga, and they're only up to 24 at the moment. They put that as like episode 4.
Yeah, I actually found that to be one of the more rewarding episodes because I was dying for some character development. You don't know anything about these characters other than that they're in the all of them except for Misaka are in Judgment. But there's really, that's another good point. There really isn't a whole lot of character development in the show either, but which is one reason why I found that episode of the bank to be very rewarding.
Yes.
But overall, I'm gonna give the show. I'm going to give it 3.5 Esper levels out of 5. I think it's a slightly above average show, even though it has pacing problems. And so I recommend watching, if you're going to watch it, watch about 4 episodes before you make your decision on whether or not you want to continue it, because that's about how long it'll take to get a fair judgment.
I guess it's my turn. So I'm going to be reviewing Helsing today, and I'm really excited because I have been on a Helsing kick for the past couple weeks. This one's for you, Lelouch. Okay, so Helsing came out back in 2001. It was directed by Umanosuke Iida, and it's a 13-episode series. I'd have to say the quality of it isn't bad at all. The art is a little bit stylistic, and there's a lot of teeth. Like, focus on teeth. Like, human teeth, vampire teeth. There's just a lot of camera shots of teeth, and, once you get used to that, it's good. The music is pretty great, too, in my opinion. Just Don't make the mistake of looking up the lyrics to the OP because you might be disappointed. Because they're gibberish. And it's sad. Okay. Plot-wise, I was gonna go into characters first. So the main characters of this series allowed the show to appeal to a vast audience with both genders. For the fangirls, there's Alucard, who is a sexy Victorian vampire with a dominant personality and a taste for violence. And then there's Ceres Victoria, a cute, innocent, and very well-endowed police officer. Which anyone can account to that has seen the series.
She's the one that has the giant gun.
The giant gun, yeah. That's always, what I was talking
she's
about.
She's always, like, grinding on it like a stripper pole.
That would be Harkonnen. Yeah.
I think, like, bullets in your cooch.
It's kind of sexy, actually.
She is. She's a ridiculously awesome character. You're also introduced to Sir Integra, the not-so-feminine and badass leader of the Helsing organization, and Walter, who is a mysterious butler with a skill for fighting with razor-sharp wires. In terms of antagonists, depending on how you look at the series, of course, the first and most present character is definitely Alexander Anderson. He's a warrior of God working for the Vatican and stocked with loads of holy weapons. Sound epic enough for your taste? Okay. Now for the plot. I personally think that James Wilkinson on IMDb summed up the series the best without, you know, of course, the use of too many spoilers. Like, first episode spoilers. Okay. Vampires and ghouls stalk modern-day England, hunting the oblivious populace. Only the Helsing Foundation stands between the evil undead and the innocent humans who would be their prey. But there's something new out there. Chips that give humans vampiric ability and bloodlust are being sold as the latest designer drug. With a new wave of evil creatures rising, Helsing must rely on its two most unlikely recruits, ancient master vampire Alucard and the newly turned Ceres Victoria. But can even they stand in the face of such overwhelming odds? I don't know, I thought that was a pretty decent plot summary. My thoughts on Helsing. I really enjoyed this series. However, this is where I plug the Helsing Ultimate series, because it was way better than the regular 13 episode, not OVA series. Many of those reasons being that the OVAs had much better animation, including the addition of CG work, and a plotline that actually relates to the manga, which includes my favorite character. But it isn't just favoritism on my part. I think the viewers would probably prefer the OVAs simply because, well, Ceres is much less annoying and a lot more mature. I can't say too much on the matter due to spoilers, but you'll have to take my word on it, as well as a lot of other fans' words. So I can't really speak too much else about it because of spoilers, but, I guess as an overall, I'd probably give, like, the regular Helsing series a good 3.5 virgin vampires out of 5, but, I would...
Oh, yeah, they had that plot idea, didn't they?
Yeah.
As opposed to you just get bitten, you turn into a vampire like modern day.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not a virgin and you are bitten by a vampire, you turn into a ghoul. But you have to be a virgin and of the opposite sex, and it's complicated. There are actually rules. It's like definitely.
Really, that's like a plot device.
Yeah.
So you said that they like have chips that turn them into vampires.
It's complicated.
Can you take
they don't
out the chip to become human again?
See there's like a lot of very complicated rules and technology in this show, and I have the chips I had not heard of for, like, you know, bitten vampires and
right.
stuff. Like when Ceres was turned, that was not how she was turned, but I know there was a lot of focus on being able to become a vampire through the use of, like, chips injected into you. It was interesting. Because the people who... That's the only way that the people who weren't virgins in the series could become a vampire.
Right.
There's also, like, a lot of technology that can make you, like, unstoppable and immortal and stuff. It's interesting. But, yeah.
And because it's a Japanese series, it deals a lot with, Christian, like, Christianity and the Bible and everything, so it's interesting to see a Japanese take on quite literally just that.
Yeah. I thought so, too. But yeah, I do love the series to pieces, but Hellsing Ultimate is way better.
I think Mitsugi has another review. We should save the best for last.
We should.
Yeah, we'll save Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna knock out another show from the last season. It's called Sword no Oto, or I guess it translates as like Song of the Skies. And it's a 12-episode anime that's directed by Mamoru Kanbei, who did Elfen Lied, even though they are not anywhere remotely similar whatsoever.
No, they have one thing in common. Really artsy, annoying openings.
You're right. Actually, they are kind of stylized, aren't they? Also, yeah, I think they also have a little bit of genre clashing going on in both of them, but that's further into the review, maybe. Sora no Oto is about a girl, Sorami Kanata, who, she basically, at the start of the show, she joins the army because she wants to learn how to play the trumpet.
Cool.
And she's assigned to a small town, in the town's Time Heralding Bastion, which is, like, a fort that plays the trumpet, like, you know, at, like, daybreak, you know, like a rooster. And,
doesn't she play the General Lee's Charge?
What? I have no idea.
That's the name of the song.
It is? Well, she can't play a trumpet at all until, like, the seventh episode, because she's really terrible. Okay. But,
I'd like to point out that I know how it's the General Lee's Charge and you don't, considering that was, like, the calling sound for the South to charge in the, Confederate War.
I'm actually from the North.
And he's actually from Australia.
Really, yeah. South.
Remember, Americans don't know anything about our country.
Yeah, we
I
know,
like that. Just
you know more about
out.
Our... Okay. Most Americans can't even find the Pacific Ocean on a map. Anyway, so there are other girls on the show. I'm just going to say right now, even though I looked for staffing similarities, I couldn't find any, this show is essentially K-On!
In the military.
In the military.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but Kanata, the girl, the trumpet girl, is identical to Yui. The stupid ditzy girl that can't really play the guitar.
She wants to be a trumpet player. And
look,
she's ditzy?
Look up their pictures on the internet. They're identical. They look the exact same. They're both dumb. They're both stupid and ditzy. They both would like fall over their feet, you know, and trip down a flight of stairs. They both can't play the instruments they want to play. They're identical characters. They're also, ironically enough, there's like the exact same number of female cast characters as in K-On! As there are in this show. There's,
Just let me ask, was this also done by Kyoto Animation?
No, it wasn't. The animation production for this show is A1 Pictures.
Okay.
The main characters are Noelle Kanagi, Felicia Heidemann, Tureha Kanata, and Ryo, who's kind of like the leader. So, guess what? 5 female characters... and 5 female characters in K-On! Wow, that's amazing. I bet if you go back, you can find similarities right down to their hair color. Interesting point about this show, while I was watching it, there's not any actual combat whatsoever in the show until episode 7. There's about 30 seconds of tank combat that takes place in the form of a flashback.
What?
Yeah, one of the characters, Felicia, was in the war, was in a war before the show takes place, and that's basically her, like, 5 minutes of backstory, and that's where the combat is. So there's not actually any actual combat in the entire show in the present until, like, the last 5 minutes of the show. So, yes, they're in the military, but really what they spend the entire course of this show doing is, like, prancing around the town, doing dumb shit, like, shopping at stores... like thinking that there's a ghost in their fortress, and they go on like a ghost hunt, typical like moe type things. And
actually, I want to point out that and I'm pretty sure that because you haven't mentioned it, you didn't know there was actually a ghost. There are screenshots of the first, second, and third episodes where quite literally there is actually a ghost of a hand coming up behind a character. The scene in the second episode where they're just walking through the barracks. If you pause when one of the characters looks back at the other, you just pause and look right behind her, there's actually the outline of a person right behind her. And like halfway through the series, there'll just be a hand holding onto someone's shoulder.
That's so creepy. Mm.
I did not catch that.
No, you need to know what's there. Once you know what's there, you'll see it and you'll go, oh shit! There's a ghost.
Oh, you're right, I see it. I looked it up on Google.
Wait.
See it?
Let me see.
Yeah.
That's really creepy.
Go rewatch that episode and you'll just be like, where is it? Oh god, I see it now.
That's kind of funny that they put that in there. But for 99% of the people that didn't see the 70% transparent hand that's the size of a quarter on the screen, the ghost is an owl. Then, I mean, see, it would have been cool if like, the story had more of the ghost in it. Like, it haunted them a little bit. But after they find the owl, I don't think they ever mention the ghost again.
No, they never do.
But there's a lot of stuff in the show towards the end that I don't want to talk about because of spoilers. But, there is actually some military political stuff that comes up at the end, and it does kind of add... I will say that the last two episodes of the show are vastly better than the entire first... What is it? First 10 episodes. First 10 episodes are so fluffy. Like, there's an episode that takes place... The whole episode is just them, like, taking care of this old woman in the mountains who's, like, does not prepare for winter. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you're gonna get out of the show, because it's just... It's similar to K-On! In that it's just fluff. But at the end, like, my score for the show was going to be abysmal until the last two episodes, and that, it kind of helped me forgive the show a little bit, because it's a little bit more rewarding. I feel like I actually got something out of finishing it. But people that like Moe are going to love the show. Like, I've been giving really low scores on anime lately, and it's just because I don't like Moe, and that's the bottom line. But people that like it are gonna eat this show alive. Like,
actually, I'm willing to fight with you on that point, because me and Washi love Moe series, and we hated this.
You hated it. Why did you hate it?
It was so dry and boring, and even in a Moe show, it doesn't matter what happens because all the girls are being cutesy and running around. The girls weren't even being cutesy and running around. They were just cute girls not doing anything.
I mean,
it was really boring. Really, really boring.
That sounds so depressing.
I found it to be very boring, but at the same time, I mean, I guess it doesn't have the same kind of cute, fluffy flair that, like, K-On! Has or Seitokai Noichi's own had, even though I really didn't like Seitokai Noichi's own either. But it's intended for Moe viewers, though. I mean, let's face it, it's 100% intended for that audience, which I guess we determined prior is probably 20-year-old some males. But,
Moe series.
Just, please, people, do not go into this show expecting anything. There's no actual substance in it whatsoever. I think that we can both agree on that. Anyway, I'm gonna give it, I'm gonna be nice and give it 3 busted trumpets out of 5.
So it's average.
It was a 2 out of 5 until the last two episodes, and then I felt I must have been in a good mood, because I bumped it up.
I kind of really want to cosplay her now that I'm looking at it.
Did you look up the comparison between the two characters?
Yeah, I saw.
How similar are they?
They're ridiculously similar, but I want to cosplay this chick so I could bring my bugle to conventions.
Now, there's a review coming up on this show right now that I am looking forward to, because I love Dragon Ball a lot. I can have an entire episode just talking about Dragon Ball.
Easily.
So please entreat us with your review of Dragon Ball.
Excellent. So I'm talking about the 1986 TV anime Dragon Ball.
So it's a retro review.
It's retro review. Written by Akira Toriyama, who's done quite a few other things. It's loosely based on the Chinese story Journey to the West. I say loosely because there are far, far closer to the original story adaptations in anime, e.g. Sayuki. But it's quite literally just a little kid running around collecting stuff because he has nothing better to do with his time and being the strongest kid in the world. That is quite literally the plot. Everything else that happens within it is just a standard shonen fighting series where he runs around and I'm going to attack this guy. I'm going to attack this guy. This guy has my Dragon Ball, so I'm going to go attack him. That's all you can say about the plot. Most of the plot of the series comes from all of the characters interacting with each other, because even if you look back at it from where we are in anime today, there are so many character types that were based on characters from Dragon Ball. Like, what was the name of the pig?
Oolong.
So Oolong is really, like, the base stereotype for the perverted anime character in modern-day anime. And Goku really is what old shonen fighting series used to be. The main male character had to be happy-go-lucky, full of life, and just happy all the time. You don't see that anymore in the shonen fighting anime, but Dragon Ball was really one of the last ones. Dragon Ball has left such a legacy behind it from its 153 episodes and 3-year run. It's really just left a lasting impression on the anime world. It spawned 2 series after Dragon Ball Z and GT.
Man, they're still making money off this thing. There's 13 Dragon Ball movies, plus, like, 2 specials and, like, a couple of hidden movies. And then there's Dragon Ball Kai that they're still making cash on because...
Oh, shit, we've got about Dragon Ball Kai.
And then there's, like, 10 video games.
There's Dragon Ball Budokai, there's Dragon Ball Budokai 2, there's Dragon Ball Budokai 3, there's Dragon Ball Budokai Tenkaichi, Dragon Ball Buju Tenkaichi 2, Dragon Ball Budokai Tenkaichi 3, there's Dragon Ball Burst Limit, there's a new Dragon Ball Duel one that's come out, and then I'm sure I'm missing one or two. There's a lot.
And there were at least 5 released on the Game Boy Advance, and I know that there were 2 for the Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
Not to mention that there are millions of fan rips of this.
There's also the one I was more
really fun moment coming out that I'm super excited for that actually allows you to power up in the middle of a battle and do spirit bombs and everything. But that's Dragon Ball Z, not Dragon Ball.
But there is a Dragon Ball game for the DS. It's Dragon Ball Origins, and it's truly Dragon Ball. It's not Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I played that and didn't like it.
I haven't played it, but.
But it's really just left this massive legacy behind it. And think about the modern shonen series, One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach. One Piece was actually started because a huge fan of Dragon Ball went up to the creator and said, I really want to, you know, ask you about this part of the series, and why didn't you do it like this? And the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, looks at the creator of One Piece before he even started the manga and says, well, why don't you write your own manga then? And the guy just goes, oh, I didn't think of that. And then he just made One Piece.
It's awesome.
The One Piece mangaka was just a gigantic fan of Dragon Ball, and he just created his own series along the generally same ideas.
Hey,
it
it's
really
not broken.
Has just left a massive legacy behind it.
Well, I mean, Dragon Ball is responsible for, in large part, for anime being so successful in the United States. I mean,
well, Dragon Ball Z,
Dragon
more
Ball
than
Z.
Dragon
well,
Ball.
Well, yeah, I kind of lump them together, honestly.
See, I don't, because, like, Dragon Ball Z has a... I don't want to say it's really different, because it's at the core, they're both fighting animes, you know? They're both kind of the same thing. But I
actually
still think it has a different flair.
If you're not going to say they're really different, I'll go right out and say they are almost completely separate entities.
They're separate, but they're the same. I mean...
Because in Australia, we didn't get Dragon Ball until well after Dragon Ball Z had finished. So I watched all of Dragon Ball and loved it, and I'm like, yeah, but where was the start of this? Because quite literally, the first episode of Dragon Ball Z is super confusing if you haven't seen any other Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's really confusing. It's like, there's this guy called Piccolo, and he's really powerful, and we have to be scared of him. And, you know, someone else has died before in the series, which is why they can't go fight Raditz. And when you go back and watch Dragon Ball, all of the set pieces from Dragon Ball Z just fall into place magically. And you're like, oh, that's why this character's like that, or... Ah, that's where they met this character. And I mean, you look at the contrast between Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Krillin in Dragon Ball was quite possibly the second or third strongest character in the entire show. In Dragon Ball Z, he's just a meat shield.
Yeah.
But the difference between Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z is Dragon Ball really, you know, even though it's classed as a shonen fighting series, it really is just a comedy series. Because even in the middle of fights, they'll be like, oh, I bonk you on the head, or... There's the epic Nazi saga with the General Blue.
Oh my god, that's like the worst section of that entire show.
I have to say, one of my favorites, though, is the it shows how Goku met Chi-Chi. And yes. I'm not spoiling anything here. If you haven't seen the Dragon Ball series, I'm sorry, but I don't care if I spoil it.
Yeah. I follow the rule of older than 10 years, you can ruin it.
Yeah. But especially with how pervasive this series is. I was going to say perverse, but that's the completely wrong word. I just love Goku meets Chi-Chi, and then they say they're going to get married, and Goku's like, when Chi-Chi comes back when they're, like, teenagers, he's like, oh, I thought that was a food. Alright, I guess I'll marry you anyway. That's, like, one of the best moments
how about the
ever.
Scene where Goku pulls off Bulma's panties and goes, no balls!
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that would have never made it in America.
And the very first wish they make with the Dragon Balls is, no, we can't let him make the wish, Bulma's panties. So perverse. And then, of course, they never show it in Dragon Ball Z, but Oolong can shapeshift. He just shapeshifts into a perfect Bulma at one point.
Oolong shapeshifts in some of the movies, I think. But, I did think about something that Krillin did in Dragon Ball Z.
You're still defending this? Krillin was useless.
Krillin,
in Dragon Ball
Krillin
Z.
Bangs Krillin. Android 18. Oh, yeah. He gets
yeah,
that. He gets that.
After wishing that she was a real girl. See, in the original series, you know, you had Master Roshi, who was, for quite a while, the strongest human until he just met Goku and made him come back to do the fighting tournament again. And there are just epic scenes like this. And then, you know, he gets bored for a year, so he goes off and fights the Red Ribbon Army, which is considered to be the classic saga of the entire Dragon Ball series.
I always enjoyed the tournament sections of Dragon Ball the best.
Oh, they were very good. As of now, I haven't actually seen the King Piccolo saga, so I know I'm missing out on just such an epic area.
Oh, that's okay. Just go watch the Dragon Ball movie that came out in America in the theaters.
Oh no. Oh no, we're not getting back into this again, are we?
No, okay, we won't.
Oh no. You go there.
I'm sorry.
But I feel that like we're running out of steam for this, but Dragon Ball really was an amazing series, and I reckon that all four of us would recommend this to everyone to watch.
Yeah.
Definitely would, yeah.
Yep, and because I don't give number ratings to anime, I'll let you guys decide between you what it should get.
You guys want to each give it a score and then average it, or what?
Sure.
I would give Dragon Ball probably a 3.
I would probably give it a 4.
I was going to say 3.5.
So 3.5 seems to be the average.
But, and it... I think, though, even though 3.5 is not like an incredible score, and its impact on the anime community, it deserves much, much more praise than that.
Yeah.
So I think it's that terrible time, again, where we all have to say goodbye.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh
no.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm going to tell you how to find us again, because you need to hear it.
Oh, quick, before we say how to find us, Scott, do you want to say how to find you?
Oh, yes. You can probably find me through the ADD Network. That's addnetwork.net. If you want to listen to me, that's cool. If not, keep listening to the AAA podcast. They do a fantastic job.
Aww. We love you.
But you guys should go listen to Scott, because you... owe it to him to give him a look.
Yes.
Give him a peek.
There's only one Australian podcast you listen to all year. Make it mine.
It's right.
Yes.
Word. Okay, so how do we find us now?
I will tell you.
Tell me,
teacher, tell me.
Teacher, please explain.
Oh, Eureka!
Well, Mommy and the Daddy love each other very much.
Okay, cutting you
Mommy
off now.
Mommy puts on a scuba suit, Daddy puts on cat ears, they put on their favorite HR puff and stuff and do the Charleston.
There's a lot of quotes that go
that
at the beginning
the
of this episode.
That was the funniest thing I have heard in a very long time.
Oh, man.
I wish I had time to laugh. You guys can find us through aaapodcast.com, with 3 A's, of course, through iTunes, Facebook, and mevio.com, and also addnetwork.net. So
if you search for Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast or AAA podcast on any of those, we should come up quite easily.
I don't think you have to search for us on our site anyway.
Well, yeah, on our website.
And please go join the character battle, make a bracket. It takes 5 minutes and you get to have fun for a month.
It's completely free.
And completely free, and you can win a poster of Snow, 1,600 square inches, it's almost life-size.
And if you don't want it, we won't judge you if you sell it on eBay.
And it's actually thicker than a regular poster. It's almost like cloth. It's so thick. So, go get it.
Go get it. Okay. So we're going to bring you guys out with Orange Days, which is the closing song from Cross Game by Squarehood. So thanks for hanging out with us, and Scott, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. It was great talking to you again.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me, guys. I hope to speak to you soon.
今の方に向いてるアンテナ今となっては届かない電波瞳として、そこにいる君は今でも幼いまま手繋いでぐっと引き寄せも離さないなんて夢の話でそう。あの日には二度と戻れない。叶うならもう一度会いたい。進まなきゃいけない出会っていい思い出の場所溢れる街並みに分かってはいるけど、ステップバイステップ。